Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by looking at their phones while driving. There's the sneak a peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts, or the nightlighter who illuminates their car after dark. If that's you, reconsider before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the got a ticketer, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was that?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero.
Lucas thrown out of the game.
Oh, no.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Luca is saying he was talking to a fan.
I never got a fan ejected, but if he's going to talk, I'm going to talk back.
Today's guests. Host of the Ross Tucker Podcast, Ross Tucker. NFL draft writer for The Athletic, Dane Brugler. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Joe Varden. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
Welcome to a Rich Eisenless show. I am Tom Pelissero. Thrilled to be back here and back with my boys in studio. Chris Brockman.
Tommy P.
Hey. What's happening, baby? Mike Del Tufo.
Great to see you, man.
Hey, Tommy.
Who's actually here for a day. He comes up to me
day three.
Because I haven't seen you in a while. I'm like, weren't you here last time? I'm like, oh, I missed all these days. You know, if I get three straight days, that's a rarity. I go, oh, so you're here for the next 3 days with me? He goes, no, I'm off. I got something else going on tomorrow. But I'm here today. TJ Jefferson, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, Thomas, what's up, baby?
How we doing?
Good, man. Good to see you. Happy you're here.
Yeah, happy to be here. 15 days out from the NFL draft.
Wow.
11 days from my flight to Green Bay.
15 Bart Starr
days. For the NFL draft.
Yes,
that's
TJ.
Right, Bart Starr, yes, number
I
of days.
I put one of those up today.
Should be a cool environment there from all the renderings, all the descriptions I've heard of how they're going to set up the draft. Should be a lot of fun there. And I get a full week in Green Bay where I have no idea what the weather's going to be. A lot of it, virtually all of it, is set outside.
Right.
You're rolling the dice.
I was looking at the forecast already. I think Mina Kimes had posted something like this, too. There's a chance at night it's going to be in the 30s.
Well, the bar was set last year in Detroit because I'm on Good Morning Football in the morning. So first thing, Good Morning Football, and then do the rest of the day, do the insiders at night. And I'm telling you, that's one of the coldest I've ever been on TV. Set aside all the games where, you know, on NFL Network when they – you know it's a bad sign when the producer shows up with the thermometer, the big round thermometer that they were told to go buy. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, it's going
to
be cold.
Hey, can you quick go to Target and get a get one of those round like thermometer? No, trust me.
And then they're unwrapping it and taking the price tag off, and you're just shaking there. But I'm telling you, Detroit last year, it was like 20 degrees in the morning. Somebody's got a photo of me where I'm wearing like this gigantic blanket. And I'm sitting, I look like the Statue of Liberty sitting up in a chair. Because all you see is my head poking out and then just the robes going around. I'm optimistic we'll get by with that in Green Bay. Flying here yesterday, too, slightly different, bigger plane than you get to Green Bay. But I had this thought. If you were making the power rankings right now of the worst seat on an airplane.
Oh, great question.
What would be, because there's some obvious answers. Top of your head, what's the worst seat on an airplane, Brockman?
Oh, the middle seat, obviously, kind of anywhere.
Middle seat, what row? Where are we on the
back
plane?
Near the back.
Back row.
You really don't want to be near the bathroom, to be honest.
That's definitely a key point.
A lot of people coming and going, the potential smell factor.
The line of people waiting to get into
the
bathroom.
Anywhere near the back. Anything in the 30s, middle row.
Del Tufo, you're the same. Back of the plane.
Yeah. Back of the plane, right? If your wall, like right at that wall behind the, like in front of the bathroom.
Plus, the other thing, too, is
then you have no recline on the seats.
You can't recline.
That's right.
That is the bathroom.
The other thing, too, is you probably had to gate check your bag because there's all the spots are filled. Yep. And then,
not in the back because no one else goes back there. That's the last place anyone's going to put their bag.
But if you're boarding in like group 7 or whatever and further back, like you're not, there's no spots for your bags. And then you're in the middle seat also.
Yeah.
TJ, worst seat on a plane. Dice.
Well, if you've been watching this Rich Eisen show for the last 5 or so years, you would know the worst seat on the plane tends to be mine because no matter where I'm at, the person in front of me will undoubtedly recline into me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that one. Or Brockman and I, we got stuck last row on a flight once, like back to the bathroom. Like
we were
said,
in the last row.
No reclining. The no recline.
The stewardess did not care for us. She
was not paying any attention to us.
Was there a third person in the row with you?
No, it was actually just the two of us, which was kind of cool.
That's not bad.
That wasn't bad.
It just increased by 50%.
We just couldn't recline.
Your space.
Yeah.
But then the row next to us was like three 15-year-old boys, and she loved them, but she wouldn't. We'd say hi. She was like,
Oh, you never want to be behind the row that the flight attendant likes. That's a bad spot to be in general. It's a long conversation. And it's just you. Do you need anything? I'm gonna keep moving.
Yeah.
Now, like I have a controversial opinion on this. Ooh. I think the worst seat on the plane, which I was in yesterday, is the seat on the aisle immediately behind first class. I decided to play upgrade roulette, right? Where you're just like the flight differentials. I'm diamond. I think I'm going to get upgraded to first class. I'm not going to pay the extra however many hundreds of dollars. I'm going to take my chances here.
And you did not.
And then you check it and you narrowly missed out. So you're in the comfort seating.
Yeah, that's usually fine.
The issue with the last seat, or the first seat rather, immediately behind first class, is that is where the aisle turns. If you ever look at it, there's like a little 45 degree turn, which apparently no one sitting behind you knows is there. So you get seated. Then proceed to take in the face everyone's elbow, everyone's coat. Yep. I got hit yesterday with a dog. This woman... who was wearing like a half shirt and she had more bags than you're supposed to have on the plane. Then also holding the dog in the carrier. I can see it coming. And I just try in that moment. I don't want to make eye contact because also they're walking straight. They're not paying attention. You're the first person they're going to make eye contact with because unlike everywhere else on the plane, you're just poked out.
Yeah, that is
true.
It
looks like you're not supposed to be there. She's not paying attention. And I can see it coming. I'm just trying to stare straight ahead. I got the AirPods in. Just ignore. And I just get whacked right here with the dog carrier. Right in the side of the face. And I'm just, in those moments, all right? I'm not talking to anyone. I'm not going to end up on TikTok being, and then that guy stood up from seat 10C and yelled at the lady. Whatever the male version of Karen is, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be Tom the jerk. In row 10.
Cliff
but just
Karen.
To no one in particular, I'm just like, you bleeping moron. Like, I just like blurted out. Like, just straight ahead, just like to myself, under my breath, but probably louder because I got the AirPods in. I've already got the noise canceled on. I'm sure it's louder than I think.
It definitely was.
And that is what I felt like had to be running through Luca's head last night.
Oh, he brought it all the way back.
When he gets tossed from the game. Yeah. Which is, I can imagine at some point, I make that, hey, you just hit me in the face with your dog, you moron. And then somebody else is like, what did you say to me? No, not you. I'm talking to... Well, she's gone now, but I was talking to her.
Talking to the moron.
Luca, last night, TJ's texting. We're on a group thread last night. I'm sitting at the hotel bar watching on a thing I didn't know existed. It's NBA crunch time, which is like the red zone of NBA.
I like it.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know what channel I was watching. It was just on. It was tremendous. But you're live texting. Luca just got tossed.
I think that was Chris.
I was like, Luca just got tossed.
For yelling at a fan.
Yeah, I sent you guys the video and it's so absurd.
The whole thing is ridiculous. All right, here's what Luca had to say last night after the game about getting tossed.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it that happened. But, you know, I never got a fan ejected, never. But if he's going to talk, I'm going to talk back like always. So that had nothing to do with the ref, so I didn't really understand.
I love that the Dave McMenamin from ESPN then went and found the fan.
Of course he did.
In the stands.
You have to.
So the passage from his story, and it was JT Orr is the referee who threw him out. But Dave McMenamin goes and finds a guy who refers to himself, according to the story, the fan Jeremy Price, who referred to himself as the courtside tattoo dude, told ESPN that Doncic was shouting at him and not the referee. Here's the quote. During the game, within the game. Start there, okay? Let's just pause.
Imagine.
Six words. During the game, within the game.
The audacity.
So courtside tattoo dude, so this guy, already.
Courtside tattoo dude literally thinks he's part of the game.
Yeah, and last night he was.
Right off the bat, you're right.
Last night he actually was. During the game, within the game.
Wow.
Because
I mentioned
that
he was short on his shot, and he missed it. And he turned around, and he shot an expletive back. And JT happened to see it, and at that point, teed him up. Courtside tattoo dude went on to say that he had also jawed with Luka last year during the Thunder's playoff series against the Mavericks, and said referee JT Orr possibly could have been mistaken as to whom Luka was addressing. Courtside tattoo dude said, quote, that's probably why he picked up that technical, to be quite honest. Just my opinion. You need to be really sure when one of the star players in the game, in a close game that has massive playoff implications, and bark something. You can do a little amateur lip reading. I went through it a few times. I'm pretty sure I know what the expletive was. But you got to be pretty sure. This reminds me of, like, at home. I got a 10 and an 8-year-old. They're girls. Most of the time, they're great kids. But they will get into it, and they'll be knocked down, drag out. And if you're sitting there trying to work, and you just see a little bit of it, or you hear something, inevitably, I go after the older one. Just like, what are you doing? Yeah, and she'll be like, it wasn't me. She said it.
She
I
should
didn't
know better.
It, Dad.
Older.
It's
should
always
know better.
Not fair,
right.
Man, is the
exactly.
Oldest. I hated that.
But that's what JT Orr apparently did here, was just that he heard something and decided, you know what? Go to your room.
Yep.
Luka, go to your room. And then Luka does look like a child as he then continues to play the whole thing out. That's a tough beat, man. In a Western Conference playoff race that, again, watching all those games simultaneously last night, the Timberwolves are in the process of blowing a 24-point lead, the largest deficit that the Bucks have overcome in franchise history. On the day that the Nuggets fire Michael Malone as they cling to the fourth seed in the playoffs, the Lakers game was highly competitive until Luka gets ejected, and then it goes completely sideways. Like, there's a very real chance that courtside tattoo dude playing the game within the game just became the difference between the Lakers having a first-round playoff series, maybe even hosting a first-round playoff series or having home court advantage, and being in the play-in. What was that? What was that, Brockman?
my reaction to that is, oh, Mike, come on!
Nah, they're never ready. Sorry.
That's a shame.
I heard you say it. I don't know why you didn't just say it with your mic open.
Well, we had the Jerry Seinfeld drop that I wanted Mike to play, but hit it, please.
That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Anything bad that happens to the Lakers? Eh, that's too bad.
How'd it go for your Celtics on the stretch last night?
Oh, great.
That was incredible finish.
Victory. Incredible, great. Look, Jason Tatum obviously proving why. Should be in the MVP conversation. Won't be. We'll make first team All-NBA for the fourth straight year because he's unbelievable. Nobody really knows it, weirdly. But yeah, awesome game down the stretch. And look, it also show why the Knicks are completely pretenders.
Carmelo Anthony sitting courtside and like the look on his face when that shot goes in, and throughout the entire way that the final moments of that game played out.
Yeah. You can't say the Knicks are pretenders. They threw a ball off of Bridges' hands at the end of the game. So it was that close.
Their record against the top teams in the East and West is...
It's not, you know.
Have they won a game yet against any of them? So, yeah.
They're not
winning the title, but, you know, cool.
So you're the NBA, right? It's a uniquely intimate game in terms of the proximity of the fans to the action. Even in baseball, they're pretty close, and you know the people sitting behind the dugout, if they want to chirp the visiting team, you can do that all game.
Well, there's now
they're
a
right
net,
there.
But there's now a net.
There's now a net, but it's not a true barrier. There's nothing stopping you from being able to hear. Football, NFL,
you're far away.
The people behind the bench, you see the occasional stuff, but even there, that's a pretty decent distance. Mm-hmm. You're not going to jump out of the front row down onto the field.
No.
I wouldn't think. It would be a bad idea.
Yeah, you probably
basketball,
think you could.
Bobby Wagner will take you out if you run on the field.
Don't do that.
Well, occasionally, what was it, Michael Clements a couple of years ago when he was going through the bleep you to everybody in the stand? You don't want to mess with Michael Clements.
No.
The dude shows up the training camp holding a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
without a shirt on. That is not somebody you want to mess with. Bad but man. The NBA, you're so close, and yeah. you've always had this back and forth. Luka, above all others, probably not afraid to go back and forth with fans. But if you're looking at courtside tattoo dude today, who is now, that's his name, famous. Not ours. Courtside tattoo dude, you've now set the standard here because he wasn't making bad comments about Luka's, his children, his parents. He wasn't saying anything personal. He wasn't cursing. He just goes short. Luka can't hold back, says.
Whoa, Tom. According to courtside tattoo guy, that's all he said.
If we can't trust courtside tattoo guy.
Yeah, what can we? Who can we trust?
Who can we trust?
Well, first of all, a man who refers to the game inside of the game. And then, even crazier than that.
This guy has a lot of tattoos.
Chris, even crazier than that, knows the name of the official. Like, they're on a first name basis. Like, I watch a lot of basketball. I could tell you, like, three officials.
Yeah, he calls him JT. JT. First name basis with the officials.
That's your man's right there.
Yeah, he is wearing Travis Scott Lowe's, like red laces.
That says a lot, right?
But he has a ton of tattoos.
Now, courtside tattoo dude has been substantially emboldened.
Right?
Because he knows JT. As have all the other want-to-be courtside tattoo dudes. Like somewhere, that poor kid who wandered onto the floor during the Malice at the Palace and just got punched right in the jaw by Ron Artest.
The guy looked like Turtle.
The Turtle-looking guy?
Yes, yeah. That guy, wearing the jersey and the whole thing comes out there like, you're good, and just bang! Gets floored by Ron Artest.
Shouldn't have came out. Yo.
No, it was Jermaine O'Neal. It was Jermaine O'Neal.
J.O.
That guy, Jermaine O'Neal, excuse me. Yeah. That guy, his only mistake was he was a little too soon, he got a little too close.
Yep.
Now, though, for influencing playoff seeding, There's a whole flood of those wannabe courtside tattoo dudes. Well, I would think are going to come out of the woodwork. If you just keep it clean, don't say any of the magic words.
Don't say any of the magic words.
Just talk.
Keep it respectable.
Just chirp.
Just have a dialogue.
Every other fan. I mean, I think everybody already knew that Luka, you could get under his skin.
I think Luka is easily combustible. And if you keep poking, he's going to kind of erupt. And he did.
And now wherever he goes down the stretch of this season, I mean, the Mavericks moved on from him for reasons that really didn't have a lot to do with basketball. It was conditioning. It was the guy. It was all the antics. Now he goes to the Lakers. Just blend in. Luka, just for the rest of this season, you're doing other Supermax. Just kind of blend in. Be a really good player. Don't, if you can, just try to avoid getting in an argument with courtside tattoo dude to get thrown out of an important game down the stretch of the season. We're right back there. And now every fan, when he goes on the road, you just have to be. Come up with the cleanest insults you can. Just have a list. Show up with an entire script of clean insults for Luka, and you've got a real chance.
At least he's not playing against his former team tonight in their city. Wait a second. I'm being told, yep, Lakers at Mavericks
tonight.
Well,
he's so beloved, right?
Yeah, the fact is, he's going to get cheered. They're going to treat him. Right. Yes. Like, because none of them wanted him to go, so it's... He's not going to have to worry about any ill will tonight.
You know what I'm doing if I'm the Mavericks front office right now?
I call Tattoo Dude and I get him courtside.
That would be
absolutely getting him.
That would be the Richard the King Petty move right there.
I call courtside Tattoo Dude. Hey, man, you want to sit center court tonight? We got two seats for you.
We'll get him one of these shirts.
Come on over.
The thank you for everything translated that the Mavericks are giving out to their fans for Luka. Get one of those for courtside tattoo, dude.
Yes.
You fly him in. Mm-hmm. Mark Cuban technically is not the owner anymore, but I'm sure he would like to be involved.
I think he still has a percentage.
Correct.
So, yeah.
So if anybody's going to do it, Mark will send the jet for him. And just have him sit there. Don't even say anything.
Yeah, just, hey,
just sit there.
Buddy.
Give him the
Don't
best
talk.
Seat in the house.
Yeah. Here's a beer.
Front row.
Free food. Have a great time. Just maybe be known. Who's refereeing that game tonight? Hold on.
If it's JT Orr, we can dare to dream. All right, we'll get back to this a little later. Joe Varden's going to join the show. But coming up after this, we are 15 days out from the NFL draft. We are going to be joined in studio by somebody who's an authority now in the media, former player. Ross Tucker is going to join us. I'm also curious to get Ross's impression on the potential of banning the tush push. Because Ross in his day loved to push a good tush.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak a peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We know just how fast your life moves. You have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and not a lot of free time. That's why we created an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on. It can save you time and money with new lightning-fast direct deposit setup, and it offers checking accounts with ATM refunds and no service fees. Plus, whether you have credit or not, you can build your credit score with the new ability to report on-time bill payments. And with personalized financial insights on My Making Sense, the ability to view all your accounts in one place, custom notifications, and 24/7 fraud protection, you can get a full picture of your finances. So if you want an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on, sign up today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA. Larry David, we've done this before with you.
Yeah.
I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay. Okay.
First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry David?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane
yes.
to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
What the distance from your house that you
would An hour and a half by car. That's it.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
So you're going into somebody's house for, let's say, the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This
okay.
happened to one of our producers,
sure.
Ken
okay.
Tulo, okay?
Okay.
They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
It's still
it's a perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you could sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if
the
you placed it on the table and there's no note,
yeah,
that's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
Last one for you, Larry, LD. Shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane?
I have a big problem with it. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on. Okay? You know, don't make yourself, it's not your house, all right? You're outside, you're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of mints, keep your shoes on.
So those yeah. who take their shoes off with shorts on and then put their socked feet up on the bulkhead?
Oh, God almighty. No, no good. Oh, God. That is out.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Tom Pelissero filling in for Rich and sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Stopping by with us right now, a guy I've known for a long time. He's a podcaster. He's an analyst. I got a list here, Ross, of all the different things. Ross Tucker, you do NFL game analyst for CBS and Westwood One, as well as host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which I've not been on in a few years. I recall the last time I was on that podcast, we were talking COVID protocols. So it has been a minute since you had me. It's good
you know,
to see you, though.
Tom, it's great to see you. And I'm so proud of you and guys like you, because I remember, you know, you were just busting your butt on the Vikings beat. And I remember on the fantasy show, I have a fantasy podcast, Fantasy Feast, Evan Silva, like, he basically ranks beat writers. and he was like, Tom Pelissero is the best in the NFL. Like, this guy is on it. If he says something, it's a lock. So then when you got the opportunities that you've gotten now, very, very well deserved and well earned.
I appreciate that. We were talking off air. You were playing at Lambeau Field your rookie year, what, 25 years ago, 24 years ago at this point?
Yeah, 2001. Interestingly, 2001 was my rookie year. So what's crazy about that is we play the first game, and then before the second game, you know, so if you're like a rookie like I was, they give you a hotel room through the first week of the season. Then it's like, all right, you got to find an apartment. So then I finally get an apartment. Tuesday, September 11th, the cable guy comes to hook up my cable. It was September 11th. He comes into my apartment. He's hooking my TV up real quick, and he's like, some small plane just flew into the Twin Towers. I'm not kidding. The Comcast guy and I sat there for 2 hours and just watched my TV that he had just hooked up. It was crazy. And not to get too far into it, but my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, that was her first day of work. I didn't actually know where she worked down there. So I kept calling, and it kept going, you know, circuits are busy, right, or whatever. I didn't know where all my buddies from college at Princeton were. It was wild. So then that weekend, they canceled all the games.
Right.
The next weekend, we played Monday Night Football at Green Bay against the Packers, which was like a very emotional, because this is before Thursday night. Sunday night wasn't a big deal. So that Monday night game was like the real coming together. So we played Monday night. We lose badly. We fly back on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I come to the facility. They cut Jeff George. He was our starting quarterback. This is my rookie year, Tom. I'm like, wait a minute. They just cut and started. Wow. They just cut Jeff George. Like, I mean, think about those first 3 weeks of my NFL life, where September 11th happens, we miss a game, and then they cut the starting quarterback. And I was like, okay, all right, that's, I better not mess up at practice today. They just cut Jeff George.
It was a slightly heavier cable installation story than the ones we were telling off air earlier.
We'll give you the Del Tufo in the black box in a little bit.
But Green Bay, the site of this draft, you were saying, you know, you pull up to it. It's like it was like a high school field. I was on the Green Bay Press Gazette from 2007 to 2009 covering the Packers. There was nothing there. It was just the single-story houses all the way around it. Across the street now, where you're going to see all these beautiful shots of the title town area that they're calling it, and the brewery and the hotel. It was literally a gas station with a Subway in it on the corner directly across from Lambeau Field. And I ate at that Subway many times. One of the better Subways in Green Bay at the time.
So the two things I remember.
There's an in Green Bay.
The two things I remember.
I give you full power rankings.
Number one, we're driving on these back roads, and it felt like you were just like in my hometown, Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. And then you turn around this one town, this one house, and Lambeau Field's right there. And then we're getting smoked by the Packers, okay? And I'm inactive. I'm on the sideline. And one of the veterans says, I'm ready for my brat, bro. I'm ready for my brat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, there's some lady that stands outside the visiting team locker room. And while we get on the bus after we shower, she gives you a brat. Sure enough, my first 2 years, we played at Green Bay. The game is over. You go shower. Before you get on the bus, there's a lady there, happy as can be, maybe because the Packers beat us both times, giving us brats. I am convinced that the Packers planted her there, psychological warfare. Because you get to the fourth quarter, you're hungry,
you're just thinking about a brat,
and you
maybe
know the lady, the brat lady, is going to be there for you. Yes. It's like, yeah, it'd be cool to win this game, but overtime doesn't sound good. I really want this brat right now.
You took a lot of plane rides in your time in the NFL. Do you have strong feelings on the plane seat? You were backstage while we were talking about this.
The worst seat
on the plane. They argue back of the plane. All right, near the bathroom.
Yeah.
I argue
middle,
first seat.
Back of the plane, middle.
Back of the plane, middle. I argue first seat in the area directly behind first class on the side where the walkway turns. What is your worst seat on the plane?
That's my number. What are you talking about? That's my number one favorite seat.
How is that?
Because you have as much leg room. Right, you can just be like this. Like, you have as much leg room as you want. It's amazing. The worst by far for me, okay, is the exact last row, middle, because you can't lean your seat back at all.
That was their argument.
And I know there's a lot of debate about leaning back or not. Let me just tell you guys, in all sincerity, okay? I had a back surgery when I played in Buffalo. L4, L5, L5S1. If I'm like this, I am absolutely miserable. Like mm-hmm. a plane is.
Me too.
If I can go like that, this is heaven. This is joy. I'm telling you, it's like I don't need to go all the way back, but when people say you should never lean your seat back on a plane, I'm telling you right now, I promise you I'm leaning it back every single time. And if the lady,
how long do you wait?
What's that?
How long do you wait? When do you put the seat back? Is it the do you good wait question. For the ding? Is it the moment the wheels? I'm a wheels off the ground, the seat's going back. At that point, I don't think that anything I do is really going to impact me in the case of a crash.
As soon as the flight attendant straps in and is not going to come back to my butt, I go back. We're still on the ground.
That's
over the line. We're still on the ground.
You can't do it on the ground.
Yeah, I have to.
So you're an adult man, and you're willing to risk the, excuse me, sir, did you not hear the announcement? You can't do that yet.
Tom,
you're willing
to get that tap. Do you think there's a lot of people that are likely to do that to me?
You've lost a lot of weight since your playing days. You see, you still look like you're in pretty good shape.
The only person's going to say is the person directly behind you, and they're not going to say anything.
So you're out here right now for the broadcast boot camp.
Yeah.
I was over at NFL Network yesterday hosting the Insiders, and so I was seeing some of the people coming through. You are faculty for this, but you're also, you're not just the Hair Club for Men president, you're also a client.
Yeah, I went to the first one they ever had. It was 2007, NFL Films, Mount Laurel, New Jersey. I didn't know if I wanted to do this or not. I had actually always grown up wanting to be a broadcaster. But then you kind of get, at Princeton, like, nobody talks about that, right? It's all finance, blah, blah, blah. And then the NFL, that's what everybody says they're going to do.
That's what the class is actually called.
Yeah, finance, blah, blah, blah. And then the NFL, that's what everybody says they're going to do. So I did internships, like, when I played for the Cowboys, Roger Staubach's commercial real estate company. Like, I did all those internships. But then the NFL had this broadcast boot camp, and I just thought, Tom, I love football so much, and people can tell when they hear me do whatever. Even if I just do the Princeton games on the radio, like I'm gonna have to fill that void somehow. So I went to the boot camp, and I'll never forget, one of the first things they do is, it's James Brown is the host, and it's like an audition kind of. Mm-hmm. And they told you, welcome in the camera, like the camera's the third person in the conversation. So James Brown asked me a question, and I said, well, James, that's a really good question. And the answer, Tom, I looked at the camera, I froze for, it felt like 10 seconds. It probably was only 3 or 4. I realized right then, I had never actually just looked into a camera and talked before. It's not natural to look into a metal object and just start talking and treat it like a person. Like, that took some, so I froze. So my audition tape from the first ever broadcast bootcamp is James Brown asking me a question and me just freezing. Thank goodness that's not what I had to use to try to get these gigs.
I was over there talking to Chris Wirtz and Andy Gregg and some of the guys who do that. I'm sure that tape does exist. So now that you've made me aware of it, I'm going to make it my mission when I'm there later today. To go ahead and find it. I wanted to get your take on this because it's going to be a big topic over the next 6 weeks or so. It was tabled at the league meeting. It'll come up again in May. But the idea of banning the tush push, and not just the tush push, the conversation now has centered on a rule that was changed during your playing career. After the 04 season, prior to that, pushing and pulling, all pushing and pulling was outlawed. They then made all of it legal in 2005. So you remember how playing the position was taught before and after.
Yeah.
What is your take on this now? What do you remember then?
Well, so it's interesting. I don't remember it being that big of a deal. I remember them being very clear, you can't pull. But I'm even looking back, Tom, and I can almost remember plays where I would come in and push the pile. Think about like John Runyon for the Eagles during that time and some of those guys. They never called it. Like, if you came in and pushed the pile forward, they never called that. In fact, somebody did the research, and you probably know, Tom, the last time, like, pushing was called was, like, in the 90s, like, 93 or something. The last time they actually called it. My issue is there's two things that they keep talking about. Number one, the health and safety. And number two, they really don't like how it looks stylistically, right? I don't think they're going to be able to write a rule that changes that. First of all, the health and safety aspect of it, that is the posture and the mechanism in which the O-line and D-line are in their stance. even if you take away the tush push, that's welcome. That's every quarterback's
mistake,
bro.
Right.
That's every fourth and inches. Like, that's the posture. That's like, so they're changing nothing in my mind in terms of the health and safety, right? The next thing about how it looks stylistically, let's say they go back to the pre-05 rules, mm-hmm. okay? The Eagles are still going to have, or any team, they'll have a tight end or whoever on Jalen Hurts' hip, and they will have that guy wedge block, basically, to prevent anybody coming from the outside, push the guard in front of him, protect the side of Hurts. In other words, it's still going to, in my opinion, Tom, it'll still look the same. It'll look very, very similar. You won't see the full-on two-hand push forward, mm-hmm. but you'll still see guys, I believe, behind Hurts or on the wings of Hurts, filtering in there to try to help root out a hole for him and give him more space. So I don't, even if they go back to the pre-05, they might be happy that they passed a rule to ban the tush push. I personally believe stylistically, it will still probably look very similar.
So when you say wedge block, you mean basically, all right, you put two tight ends on either side of Jalen Hurts and you just have them run forward like they're going to block. So if somehow the guard or the center gets beat and a D tackle's coming through, you're hitting that guy behind him.
Right, so they put their helmet on Hurts' hip, mm-hmm. okay, and they drive block either way, so they protect Hurts from the outside, and they continue to push the pile forward. So maybe they're pushing the center and the guard, they're pushing that forward. I think it's going to look very, very similar no matter how they try to write the rule.
And you're right. The John Runyon highlight reel, which you can still find sometimes like made on Instagram, and it's all like the play is over. And then 3 seconds later, here comes John Runyon, full Superman, over the pile, hitting a guy who's not involved in the play. And that's why they changed the rule, was downfield, not those plays specifically, which you should be able to see, but it was just the every play of a guy going down to block, and was he pushing? Was he trying to hit the defender? They weren't able to officiate it. And that's one thing that always drives these rule changes beyond health and safety, is if we can't officiate it consistently, then let's not try to have that be the rule, or let's rewrite it.
And Tom, let's say they go hard and fast with that rule, and you cannot push the ball carrier. So the offensive linemen, like me, we're not just going to stand around. So what are we going to do instead? Rib shots, kidney shots for the defenders that are coming to gang tackle, right? If we're not allowed to push our guy forward, then we're going to try to pick those guys off. It does not make sense to me that, let's say there's one ball carrier and one tackler. So five other tacklers can come in and gang tackle and knock that ball carrier backwards, but you're not going to let any of the offensive players push him forward. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. But let's say that's the rule, okay? Then you're going to see offensive linemen come through and just try to pick those guys off the pile with helmets and shoulders to the ribs, to the kidneys. I mean, it's actually going to be worse from a health and safety standpoint for the defenders downfield.
Well, we also saw the other part of that, which is Washington last year. Everybody remembers the repeatedly jumping over the pile and the threats were going to award the score. Washington also was having guys off the edge just run and try to tackle the pushers.
Right.
If you watch it, they've got guys just lined up, and all they're trying to do is get to A.J. Brown or Dallas Goedert or whoever it is, and basically tackle those guys before they can push. That's the part of it that I understand. I also think that just the play itself, it does not look like football. It looks like something else. It looks like a rugby play. To your point, even if you don't go with the alignment, you have a champion power lifter at quarterback. You've got the most talented offensive line in the NFL. Those plays of just head down, move the pile, are we then going to get to the point of, well, now you got to be head up, and what are all the fallouts of that? That's where you get into a complicated 1,000%.
They're still going to be extremely successful running the quarterback sneak. Landon Dickerson and Mailata in particular on the left side, movers of men. Those guys are absolute monsters. So I'd be surprised if the Eagles aren't still effective no matter how they do it.
You had any strong NFL draft takes? We're 15 days out. Is there one thing, whether it's a prospect, what a team should do, one thing that you feel very confident saying right now?
Yeah. And I think, Tom, it's however much we talk about Travis Hunter, it's probably not enough. I did a Colorado State game last year. I went to their practice. The guy, you ever see like a baseball player who like a tremendous outfielder that they just the way they go up for the timing of like to catch a fly ball or whatever, or a long drive, or even a basketball player that's just so awesome with the finger rolls. Watching him at practice was unbelievable. Just this week, okay? Today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I had Todd McShay on the show. You guys all know Todd McShay. He has Travis Hunter as the number one ranked wide receiver, the number one ranked corner, okay? Fran Duffy, who does a terrific job, was on my Fantasy Feast podcast today. He did two separate players in his scouting database. Travis Hunter, the wide receiver, Travis Hunter, the quarterback. He did two totally different players, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not the same guy. Both players are in the top five of his database, top five prospects for this draft. We're not talking about that enough. Tom, you know, college football is like 160 snaps, 80 snaps, both teams, no huddle. The fact that he played that many snaps, the fact that he's better than every other guy at both positions, it is crazy. He's one of one. I can see why the Titans would take a guy like Cam Ward because they need a quarterback. But if you're the – and I love Abdul Carter. I'm from outside of Philly. Mm-hmm. I live near Penn State. I love Abdul Carter. I'm not taking Abdul Carter over Travis Hunter. I'm not doing that. Like a guy that can truly affect both sides of the ball and I think will at the NFL level, I'm taking Travis Hunter number two.
The biggest thing in talking to coaches about Travis Hunter, and I asked several head coaches, we got a feature that we're working on for NFL Network around the draft, just like what's the feasibility? Could you actually play 140 snaps, let's say, on average in an NFL game? Could you do that? The primary thing that, and I asked Brian Callahan about this, Brian Schottenheimer, among others, was the biggest challenge is going to be there's so much technique, there's so much volume in scheme. It's the, you can't be in two places at once. You can't be in two different meetings. You can't go through individual drills at both position every day. So are you holding yourself back in your development, or do you need to start out, okay, you're going to play corner, and then as we ramp up here, we're going to give you a package. Okay, now we're going to give you two packages and try to get there. There is something to be said, though, for this guy believes he can do it because he's done it. He did it at the college level, playing every snap. And how do you then get him on board with, okay, here's exactly how we're going to roll out this entire plan?
I think he has to be in the defensive meetings. I think he has to be in the defensive back meetings. Communication, other than offensive line, the secondary is where communication is probably the second most important. He can't just go out there and start to cover guys. He has to know how they're switching up coverages, how they're passing things off. So he's got to be a corner and in all the corner meetings. And then you just said it. You can package him on offense. You can give him a small introductory package of 5 to 10 plays where he knows what route he's running and kind of ease him in on the offensive side of the ball. You can't do it the opposite way. Although I've had people say that they think he's more ready on the offensive side of the ball to contribute, and that if he went to New England at 4 or if he went to these other teams at 2 or 3, that maybe they're better off just making him a full-time receiver for what their team needs.
Deion Sanders, the closest thing that we saw to it in the mid-90s. That was a ways into his career, too.
Yeah.
But legit playing. He was the third receiver on the Cowboys. He had like 45 catches 1 year. That's the closest thing. He had 1 year. Brockman can look up the exact stats, but he had 40-plus catches the 1 year they totally cut him loose. Okay, you're going to do this. And he did it at a pretty high level through the course of that season.
I didn't remember him doing it that much. I remember
that's the last player that I recall doing it in any extended way. Not the Mike Vrabel, J.J. Watt at the goal line. What do you got, Brockman?
His second year in Dallas, 96. He had 36 catches for almost 500 yards.
Like he was legit number three wide receiver on the team.
67 targets.
Right. And that, I mean, that's full volume number three receiver.
And back then, that was high volume because they were a running football team. Yes. Right. So back then, with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and those guys, for him to get that's a lot of volume.
He is an NFL game analyst for CBS and Westwood One, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Anything else you want to plug before you get out of here, Ross?
Yeah, no, that's good. Ross Tucker, follow me on social media if you want to, at Ross Tucker NFL. We'll see what food I got going tonight. Maybe a nice beer or two.
And don't sit in front of Ross on the plane because he's going to be stretching those legs out and kicking the underside of your seat and then reclining into your lap. Ross, great seeing you, buddy.
Of course, thanks for having me, Tom.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Trevor Sikkema here from the PFF NFL Show, here to get you ready for the 2025 NFL Draft. We're dropping PFF podcast episodes 3 times a week with the rankings, sleepers, team fits, mock drafts, and more, powered by the same data used by all 32 NFL teams. If you want a deeper insight into this year's class and how it all shapes up on draft day, we've got you covered. Become a smarter draft fan right now on the PFF NFL Podcast. The PFF NFL Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Okay, here we go. Mike Del Tufo.
I'm in my natural environment.
You are.
I'm field with cheerleaders.
Emily, take it away.
Hey, Mike, are you nervous?
Emily? No, not at all.
Good. Well, here are your set of pop-ups.
All right.
Okay, here. I'll take
it. How do you guys hold on to these things? Oh, there we go.
Your microphone.
There we go.
All right, Mike. So what move are you teaching him?
Okay, so we're going to do a dance. This is how it's going to start. You're going to step out, and your arms are going to go right, left, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, then you're going to box and pump. Good.
Box and pump. Okay. So right, left, right, box and pump.
5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. Close. Now your hips are going to go right, left while you frame your face. So 5, 6. And now.
Get those hips in there, Mike. Come on.
Got a big hair flip to the back. And then hair flip all the way over to the front.
Hair flip.
Good.
That's
okay.
Definitely one thing
Let's
I couldn't
that
do.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. All right.
Show off your red boots and walk. So hair flip, maybe. Yeah.
Has to be a sassy walk.
Yeah. Okay. Sassy walk. So walk 1, 2.
That's not sassy enough.
3. Step together. 4. Now pump it. 5, 6.
Oh, you guys are real. No way.
You gotta get low on that.
Focus.
You gotta get low on that.
Yeah. Okay. Jump up just a cheer.
So ready. Take it from the hair flip. Ready. Right. And 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Can we do it from the top?
Let's do it from the top.
Top. Ready.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Roll back. Oh,
wow. So how would I introduce
is HTC Mike.
HTC Mike. I like it. Here we go. HTC
okay,
Mike
ready.
And the Houston Texans cheerleaders, everybody.
5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, back 7, 8. Walk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
yes.
7,
yes.
8.
Yes. 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 Emily, tell him what he's won.
Mike, and for being a great sport, we brought you a fully signed Houston Texans cheerleading calendar.
Yeah.
All right.
Mike Del Tufo's, it's a Delphi. It's the first Delphi of the week.
HTC Mike.
Fantastic.
You did great.
Not creepy at all.
Mike, after watching that video, all I can think is, were you a dancer growing up?
Oh, yeah, I danced in clubs all the time, but I wasn't.
So there was no choreography you had to memorize, because what I see is a man who has you forget everything after 3 seconds.
Exactly.
There was absolutely nothing that happened. I'm not saying I could do better.
No.
I'm just saying there was nothing in your final performance there.
It was terrible.
That even loosely resembled what they'd been teaching you.
No.
I thought maybe one move. You had
not
a chance.
Even, I didn't have one move. It was terrible.
Could you do better now? We give you a routine now.
Nah, Brockman, TJ, what do you have?
I mean, there's less of you now, so I think maybe you might move a little bit better.
Graceful.
Yeah, I might be a little more graceful. but not now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being lighter on your feet, I do think helps.
Yeah, but that wouldn't, no.
What'd you do with that selfie pre-Instagram? It's hard to imagine. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 130 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006. Because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. IIHS Top Safety Awards include Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick, plus awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero sitting in for Rich here on a Wednesday. We're 15 days out from the NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was great talking to Ross Tucker about a lot of things, namely the subway that used to be directly across the street in the gas station.
What was your order?
Lambeau Field. That was not that long ago either.
What was your go-to order?
I think at that point, it would have been the footlong. You know, you're younger with a better metabolism. This is like 2007. Definitely a footlong.
Of course.
Probably the sweet onion chicken teriyaki.
Oh.
I want to see that meat be cooked in front of me. I think any time that I go into any fast food place, sandwich place, I just want something that goes in a microwave. I don't want to know the meat.
That's fair.
I don't know how long it's been since that meat.
Of course. No, valid. Very valid.
You just have to be very cautious.
Yeah.
I can still remember, and this is not to rag on Green Bay, a city that I'm very much looking forward to going back to. But there were a lot of pieces of advice that I got there in the early days. And I had great coworkers at the Green Bay Press Gazette, Pete Doherty, who's still there, now a columnist at the Press Gazette, Rob Domofsky, who's now at ESPN.
Wait, the Duke of Dorchester, Pete Doherty?
Not him.
Oh, okay.
Different one. Gotcha. More letters, but still there.
Okay.
Still covering the Packers, UW Green Bay basketball and all that stuff. But I remember being in a bar with them in the first week that I was there, and they told me I ordered a Guinness, and they're like, yeah, you don't want to order a Guinness there. And this is in like, basically a house bar, right? If you've been to Green Bay, there's literal house bars, just people who have a bar in their front, their living room, and you can go in there. And then you've got ones that are just like these little 10 seat, what we'd call dive bars, but there's bars in Green Bay.
Right.
You order a Guinness, you're like, yeah, you only want to order Spotted Cow or Miller Lite because you just have no idea how long it's been since they changed the tubes on any of those other kegs. Because they sell tons of the favorite beer. You don't want to order anything that's off book.
Right.
And I never did that again.
That's hilarious.
But my choice in the meats is really just based upon I'd rather it not be cold.
And there was, is that restaurant still there that's right
fair,
across? That you get the place
Kroll's,
kind of
yes. Kroll's West. The Butterburger. Which only takes cash on game days.
Yes.
So there have been many times.
Yes.
Especially back when I was at USA Today and I'd be writing late on deadline. Mm-hmm. And so like everything's kind of cleared out. All the party folks have cleared out. Cause I mean, Lambeau is a madhouse.
Oh yeah. The pre tailgating.
But I can remember rolling in there at like midnight and just going and ordering a Butterburger and then being like, it's cash only and going, well, this is going to be a bit of a problem. Then you go to the ATM, which probably charges a $7 fee. You get the cash.
Yeah,
that's the only way. Those Butterburgers, even without drinking, just coming straight from work when it's been a long day. Melt in your mouth.
Really?
Just absolutely sensational. Yeah. Now that you mention it, I might be making an appearance there.
Cheese curds from that place
you talk about
are epic.
Cash only on game day. Is this like the town too? Where like
it's because
Ben Affleck and Cruz
so busy.
Rob Green Bay because it's cash only on game days?
At those, which reminds me the other day, I saw at the airport coming back from spring break in Florida. And I ordered my wife a drink at a coffee shop there. And then the woman, like 2 minutes later, I see her just sitting at one of the tables, counting money out of the till. She's just sitting there, literally taking the money out, 20s. And like, airport restaurants are, there's just like a 2 foot high little, barrier. And then there's just people there. Like, it's been the easiest snatch and grab of all time. I know there's a lot of cameras,
surveillance, in an airport.
I've never seen somebody openly count the till
right
sitting at a table in a restaurant. There's no law. It's like international waters in the airport. Nothing there.
Well, time is not an issue either. You can drink and eat and do whatever you want at any time of day at an airport.
Except the Sky Club at Newark, I found out years ago coming back from a weekend trip with my wife.
Closes?
No alcohol before, I think it's 11 a.m. So you want a mimosa on a Sunday morning at like 10 o'clock before flight. I'm sorry.
We can't do ours.
There's no... Don't quote me on the time.
That's insane.
But there was I did specifically remember, it wasn't like 6 a.m. I don't have a problem, but a 10 a.m. mimosa, I think that's well within the bounds.
100%.
There's no alcohol. Yep. That's the only one that I've been to that's like that.
EWR. It's the worst airport in the world.
It might be a Newark thing.
100%.
I don't know.
I'm excited to go to one of these house bars in Green Bay. Like,
oh, there's
literally right someone's across. House?
Yeah.
There are places in town. I believe there's over 200 bars in a city of like 100,000 people. But there are legit house bars that are just, you're in the neighborhood and you can go in and it's in the living room.
They have a liquor license? Or like, how does this work?
I don't quite know what the rules are.
Okay, Brockman, don't ask, don't tell. You know what I mean?
You're going to be there, right?
We're going to be there.
All right. So one night,
we're going with you.
You tweet us that you got a house bar in Green Bay.
Yes, exactly.
Me and Brockman, and we'll bring Tom.
We will come to your house bar. Mike, you're not going to be in Green Bay, are you?
No.
So the three of us.
I love Green Bay.
We will do it.
Either Wednesday night or Thursday night.
There's one right across from the field.
I'm on at 7 a.m. every day, so we got to do this pretty early. Off the air on the Insiders at 7.
We're on the air.
7:30.
We're on the air from 11 to 2. 2:01, we are ready to go.
So tweet us. Look, send us a picture of your house bar.
And we will come.
Gotta make sure it's, up to regulations.
No.
NFL draft, 15 days away in Green Bay. Dane Brugler unleashed the beast today. One of the greatest draft guides. He joins us next on The Rich Eisen Show.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.